If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 1. I've been kind of going through the book of Job in my devotions for the past couple weeks and just couldn't help but realize what a man of God Job really was. But I'm going to start this little devotion off with a little illustration that I found that seemed to fit it perfectly. An elderly lady was well known for her faith and for her boldness in talking about it. She would stand on her front porch and shout, "Praise the Lord!" Next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her proclamations, he would shout, "There is no Lord!" Hard times set in on the elderly lady, and she prayed for God to send her some assistance. She stood on her porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord! God, I need food. I am having a hard time. Praise the Lord. Please, Lord, send me some groceries." Well, the next morning, the lady went out on her porch and noted a large bag of groceries. She shouted, "Praise the Lord!" The neighbor jumped up from behind the bush and said, "Aha! I told you there was no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't." The lady started jumping up and down and clapping her hands and said, "Praise the Lord. He not only sent me the groceries, but he had the devil pay for them. Praise the Lord." Now, we know that Job's time wasn't quite like this lady's, but he did go through some hard trials. And as I was reading through this in my devotions, I just noticed there was kind of three different perspectives on Job's life. And I just kind of like to go through real quickly. It's going to be the first two chapters and then the last chapter of the book, and just go through and look at these different views and responses to the trials. So starting off in Job chapter 1 and verse 1. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest in all the people of the east. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did regularly." We see in these first 5 verses that Job was a very wealthy man. It says in verse 3 that he was the greatest of all of the people in the east. But it also says that Job was a God-fearing man. Verse 1 says that Job was blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned or turned away from evil. And because Job feared God, he had this high and holy respect and concept of God, and he hated evil because of that. He had a very close relationship with God. He would even offer sacrifices just thinking that maybe his children had sinned, not even knowing if they did. And then we move on through the book, or through the chapter, and we see now up in the heavenly realm where Satan is before God, and God says in verse 8, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So we see in the first section that was kind of man's view. It's how everyone saw Job. And then we switch over to God's view of Job, and God repeats the exact same thing, but then adds that Job is his servant. We see that he serves him regularly. And also that there is no man on earth that is like Job. blameless, upright, fears God, and turns away from evil. And then we move on in the next couple of verses of Satan's view of Job. Verses 9 through 11. So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch forth your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." You know, Satan, he realizes that Job still is a righteous man and follows God, but Satan kind of throws a slur at Job's character by saying that it's only because of the things that God has given him, all the things that God has blessed him with, and the hedge of protection that God has put around him. Satan's saying, if you just take all of that away from him, he's not going to follow you anymore. So in the following verses, we see that God allows Satan to take all of Job's possessions away from him, all of those things we read about in the beginning verses, and all of his children. God allows Satan to take them all away. And in the end of chapter 1, starting in verse 20, we see Job's response to these trials. Verse 20, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshipped. He said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." You know, Job lost pretty much everything all in one day. At least that's what it makes it seem like in one day. He lost everything except for himself and his wife. Maybe those couple servants that showed up to tell him what happened. But he lost everything. And what does he do? He falls to the ground and he worships God. And I couldn't help but think, you know, is that something that if that happened to me, would I do that? Would I sit down, would I fall to the ground and worship God, even though all of what is around me that I have has been taken away? Job never lost his faith. He only held on to God. And you know, we move through into the next chapter, we see in verse 3, God's view of Job does not change. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause.'" You know, God's view of Job still hasn't changed. He still sees him as he did in the beginning. Job hasn't lost faith in God. And Satan's view, we see, still hasn't changed. In the next few verses, I'm not going to take the time to read them, but we see in verses 4 to 5 that Satan claims that if you just allow me to strike Job, take away his health, then he's going to curse you. You know, Satan always tries to find that one little kink in the armor to get through, to make us want to stop believing in God. And he thought he found it. But when we read verses 8 through 10, let's start in verse 7. "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd wherewith to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job still remained faithful, even after losing everything and losing his health. The only thing left that God had not taken was his life. But he still remained faithful. And again, I go back to that question, would I be able to do that? And I would assume that y'all would be thinking the same thing. Is that something that I would be able to say I could do? And then we move on to the end of the book in chapter 42. Reading the first six verses of chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, in all the previous chapters in between here, we see that Job gets a very clear picture of who God is. God reveals his wisdom, his power, his providence, and his sovereignty. And Job can say in verse 5, but now my eyes see you. You know, once Job saw God in his sovereignty, he realized how vile he really was, to the point where he says, I abhor myself, and he repented. Now, in the beginning of the book, we see that Job was a blameless and upright man, feared God and turned away from evil. Yet here, he still says, I abhor myself. That's because he realized that how vile he really was when he stands before God. But he also sees himself in a new relationship with God when he repents. Job recognized the sovereignty of God and realized that God had permitted him to suffer these things so that he would repent and become closer to God ultimately. You know, 1 John 1:6-7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, that last part, I know we use it in a lot of evangelism. But that's really the kicker. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And just kind of as a challenge and some lessons that we can learn from the story of Job, in verses 1 and 8, we see that the righteous are not exempt from suffering. You know, God makes it very clear that Job was righteous and blameless. And we also can see that suffering is not necessarily a result of sin. God was using all these trials to bring Job closer to himself. God has also set a protective hedge around the righteous. It was talking about in the verses in chapter 1 where God had set a hedge of protection all the way around Job and everything he owned. Satan couldn't touch any of Job's stuff unless God let him. And you know, God doesn't send sickness or suffering. That all comes from Satan. But Satan can only bring that upon a believer by God's permission. So therefore, we should view all of these trials as coming from the Lord, just by his permission, and not from Satan. You know, Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There was a few verses kind of wrapping this up in 2 Corinthians that I was reading that go along with it. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he, being Jesus, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we just want to lift up these words to you. Pray that they have fallen on soft ground, Lord, and I just want to thank you for everything that you have done for us, Lord. You came to this earth and born of a virgin and died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins, Lord. We can never thank you enough for that, and we know that you were always there and you hear our prayers and that you are faithful to us, Lord, and you will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able, but will always make a way of escape. We just want to lift up anyone here that is going through any of these trials, Lord, that they will just look to you, that we will all look to you and continually place our faith and trust in you each and every day. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.